outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Friday, May the 9th, 2025. Year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, because when our enemies are doing well, we're doing very poorly. Poorly, by what we mean by poorly, is just watch any of the Terminator films and put yourself in the shoes of John Connor or Sarah Connor or any of the humans that have survived the apocalypse, the Armageddon that features as part of that storyline, and they are hunted down by these machines that have this killing program installed on their hard drive that has no pity, it has no compassion, it has no morality, it has no sense of right and wrong. It just is on a mission to kill. And yes, folks, we, the Gentiles of the world, we are marked for extermination, just like the storyline in the Terminator films. We are the most endangered species on the planet, folks, because we have an enemy that has dedicated itself to our utter destruction. It's been a while since we've been together, folks, not because there isn't lots to talk about, but rather because there is lots to talk about, and I've been doing a lot of talking, specifically, folks, a lot of writing. I've been working on a very important article now, going on 2 months, dealing with the FBI raid on Donald Trump's home back in 2022, and the fact that Netanyahu was the one principally behind it. So I'm just rounding the last bend on the article, folks, and I should have it done. I encourage all of you out there to read it. I'll warn you ahead of time. It's not a jar of baby food. It's not a scoop of ice cream. It's not a bowl of yogurt. It requires some concentration. It requires a little bit of time. It requires, you know, some degree of mental energy. You're not going to get through it in the 10 or 15 seconds that unfortunately people have come to expect these days before they will actually sit down and educate themselves on important topics. It's going to take you a lot longer than 10 or 15 seconds. It might take 10 or 15 minutes, folks. But I can assure you that after you have read through the article and you have digested everything that is in it, you will be in a much better position to argue your case out there in the court of public opinion with regards to all of the serious issues that we are facing right now. You will find yourself, you'll find your knives to be a little bit sharper, folks, hopefully. A belated but a very heartfelt, blessed resurrection day to all of you out there. And notice, folks, we did not refer to it as Easter. Okay, we referred to it as Resurrection Day, just as we don't refer to the day on which Jesus Christ was deliberately murdered by the deep state of his own time as Good Friday. There's nothing good about what happened on that day when he had all of the skin ripped from his body, and then he was nailed to a tree where he went through 3 hours of his agonizing death. Resurrection Day, folks. That's what it used to be called, and that's what we refer to it here on this humble little information endeavor, because that's what it is. That's what it is, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's something that our enemies, who coincidentally or not happen to also be his enemies, it's something that they absolutely detest, folks. The fact that their plans all went up in smoke, their drive to get rid of a dreamer of dreams, of somebody who stood in the way of the Kosher Nostra Crime Consortium, as I refer to it on this program, the fact that he's still alive today, folks, even if only in the memory of billions of people around the world, he's still alive. Anyway, folks, we have lots to talk about, and we are joined by our regular special guest host, Stas. He will be coming up here in just a moment. We don't have any sound bites, folks, today, other than the sound bite that you heard at the very beginning of the program. Probably the most important sound bite that you have ever heard in your entire life, whether you realize it or not. Okay. Because within that sound bite, credited to the Jewish writer Douglas Ruskoff, I believe his name is, he basically lays out within the span of, I don't know, 60 seconds or something like that, what has been this drive to exterminate us now for thousands of years. And he makes it very clear, folks. He doesn't specify that it's Zionism or that it's Talmudic Judaism. He says Judaism, just Judaism, meaning the Judaism of the Torah, the Old Testament. The reason that that I'm bringing this up in this fashion, folks, is because unfortunately out there, there is a lot of useless and distracting commentary that takes place on the part of a lot of people. And it is useless, it is distracting. A lot of it is just patently false, factually false. And what it does is that it prevents the rest of us from getting on the same page, argumentatively, folks. Meaning when we go out into the court of public opinion and we're trying to convince the jury, whether that jury is made up of friends, family members, co-workers, neighbors, fishing buddies, hunting buddies, whatever, we can't make a coherent argument. Because our brains have been filled with all of these ideas, contradictory ideas, useless ideas, ideas that get us running around in circles so that we don't make any sense. And we lose control of the discussion, folks, as a result of that. That's why I encourage all of you out there listening to the program and who follow the work that we do on the website to pay close attention to that soundbite at the beginning of the program, because it tells you everything that you need to know about your condition of life at this very moment. At this very moment. We have a group of people out there, a very powerful and well-placed and influential group of people who are acting upon what they are religiously commanded to do, which is to destroy things that they believe aren't true. As our commentator Douglas Ruskoff says, you know, we don't believe in these individual gods. We don't believe in the ideas of boundaries of states and nations. We see all of these as artificial constructions. And he says, in a sense, and it's a big sense, folks. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the boundaries of all nations and all people because it's not real. Now, when he says all nations and all people, folks, what he's talking about are the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Okay, the ones who don't adhere to the teachings of Yahweh as found in the Old Testament, in the Torah, the teachings of Yahweh that say that there's this one tiny speck of humanity that has been chosen to rule the world and to lord over all of the peoples, that the rest of us are just beasts created in human form to serve them. So that's the only soundbite that we'll be hearing today, folks. The rest of it is just going to be some heavy-duty discussion that really needs to take place. Now, the good news, folks, the good news is that you probably will not hear a lot of complaints or negative comments on my part, at least on my part. I won't speak for my guest host because he's free to say whatever he wants, but you probably won't hear a lot of negative commentary on my part about what is going on in the alternative media these days. And the reason why, it's not that I've turned over a new leaf, folks, it's because I haven't heard anything. I don't know who is saying what these days. I haven't tuned into Judge Napolitano's program. I haven't heard what anybody is saying. And I have a few of my friends have said, oh, so-and-so has said this and so-and-so has said that. And I have gotten links. I've received links from people saying, oh, you should listen to this and you should listen to that. But I haven't, folks. And the reason why is because I have found it to be, I think it's the best comparison would be, although I'm not particularly comfortable making this comparison, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus Christ, but when Jesus in the gospel, it says that he went to the fig tree because he was hungry and he saw that there were no figs there, and he cursed the tree and he said, you will never bring forth any fruit, anything that is of any benefit. And that's kind of how I see most, if not all, of the alternative media folks these days, at least with regards to how they view the geopolitical and I would say the apocalyptic drama that is unfolding before us right now involving a certain Donald J. Trump. Now, folks, before we jump into the meat of the discussion today, we're going to set things up. Since the last time we were together, let's see. The Pope has died. We have a new Pope. And Donald Trump, I believe, folks, had his hand in the election. We'll be getting into that later. But for right now, as a teaser, I'm going to say the fact that we had an American that was elected to the Vatican and the president was just there a few weeks ago, I don't think is coincidental. And we'll be getting into that later. More importantly, the National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz, has been moved out. He's been shuffled over to the United Nations, and now Marco Rubio is sitting in as the National Security Advisor. Apparently, folks, Mike Waltz was playing kissy face with Netanyahu behind the president's back, and particularly with regards to U.S. military action against Iran. Now, interestingly enough, folks, I ran into a news story on the Washington Post just at the same time that Waltz had been dismissed, talking about the fact that his phone had probably been hacked with, drumroll please, ladies and gentlemen, Pegasus. This was the first news story that I had run into where Pegasus was actually mentioned. And just for the record, folks, as far as I know, maybe our guest host, when I bring him up here in a moment, will be able to correct me on this, but as best as I know, it was this program and this program only that tied the two together between Waltz, the stinking Jew, Jeffrey Goldberg at the Atlantic, and the Pegasus, the Israeli-created spyware, phone spyware, Pegasus. In addition to that, it turns out that right before Waltz was dismissed, a reporter had gotten a screenshot of his phone when he was sitting in the middle of a National Security Council briefing and was seen using a particular app that was created in Israel. I believe it's called Telemessage or something like that. It is an app similar to Signal, folks, but it is It is created in Israel. It's apparently very easy to hack. Whether this was deliberate or not, I don't know, folks. My guest host and I have toyed with the idea that possibly, not probably, but possibly, that the entire SignalGate thing was a Trump operation aimed at shaking things up. I'm not ready to go there yet, folks, but I'm not going to slam the door on it. And it may very well be that all of this took place in order for Trump to create, for President Trump to create this narrative that anybody who is viewed as friendly to Netanyahu gets booted out the door. Because that's exactly what just happened. Waltz has been booted out. And the reason that has been given for it is because he was seen as playing footsie with Netanyahu over American military action against Iran. So all of these and more, folks, we will be talking about. Having said all of that, I'm going to go ahead and bring up our special guest now, and it is the one and only irreplaceable Stas. Stas, are you with us? Please check in.
I am with you. I am aboard the Tux.
the good ship, the ugly truth. Yes. Well, it is the ugly truth. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't such a single and solitary voice. I really wish there were more people picking up on these things. But as you and I discussed prior to the program, Stas, you know, everybody's late. It seems everybody's late coming to the table. You know, we have had some yes. really, really groundbreaking news just within the last week or so, and especially in the last couple of days. The Jews are really, really upset with Donald Trump. Okay, not only is he negotiating a new deal with Iran, he got rid of Mike Waltz. He just worked out a deal with the Houthis that he's not going to bomb them anymore. He didn't say anything about them bombing Israel. Basically, he said, you know, you do whatever you feel you need to do. The Jews are really, really upset about this. He has decoupled, giving the Saudis nuclear technology in return for them recognizing Israel. That's off the table. And he is headed to the Middle East on Tuesday, and he is not going to Israel. He's going throughout the Middle East. And folks, I'll predict it here. I don't know if anyone else has yet or not. But my prediction is that this big announcement that the president is supposed to be making here very shortly before he leaves is related to Iran, and I would not be in the least bit surprised if indeed we see pictures coming out of his trip where he is shaking hands with the Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Stas, your thoughts on that?
Events are moving at breakneck speed. Also, the President Trump, if people don't think he's doing anything, he caught an Israeli mole inside his own administration, and Waltz is out, which is wild. And he's also being recognized by the as a major betrayer to Israel. In the notes that you got me, the relationship in Netanyahu is out in the open as bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're using words like frustration, but I mean, this is like unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
He's letting them know that he's going ahead with Middle East policy without Israel.
Absolutely.
Which is incredible.
But Stas, isn't this all... Sorry, I got to do it. Isn't this okay. all just an act? Isn't it all just a staged event? Isn't it all just a hoax?
Sheldon Adelson is still alive. No, I... I don't... right, I know. Nobody can get down to it. I mean, the truth movement in many ways is the worst movement... Unfortunately,
yeah,
and they always come up with something, and they get distracted, and not looking at it. I mean, the ugly truth was all over the SignalGate thing,
Ooh,
and they just kind of dropped it.
No,
they dropped it. The
defundants,
or whatever you want to call them. I mean, that was they missed that one. you know, I'm just stunned. I'm just stunned. The commentator Jimmy Dore did come right out and say Trump fires Israeli, well, inside administration.
Kudos to
and
Jimmy.
And also,
kudos to Jimmy Dore.
Yeah. He also has a headline: Trump, quote unquote, screws Israel with dramatic shift on Yemen.
Yep.
You know, he's off. He's volatile. So and also, you know, on and on. Of course, and Trump has banned the gain of function that caused the pandemic. So any of you like Trump is the vax daddy. Well, he's the only one that has done anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they just, you know, constantly coming up with that, you know. So and not to overdo Jimmy, but he's got Schumer torched by a reporter by attacking Trump's poll numbers. So, you know, there's a lot of movement, but of course, and he goes back and forth and kind of caves in on the Don. But I got to give kudos to the Tut again. We were way ahead on kind of talking about Erdogan.
Mm-hmm.
And I must give myself a thumbs up. I was like, it could come from anywhere. Pakistan. I did a few shows ago. It was like Pakistan.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I think I sort of said something like, they got so much power, they don't care. They'll start the fight in another place.
Yeah, absolutely.
If Ukraine and Gaza doesn't do it, they can
which
do it
they
over
have.
In Pakistan.
Absolutely.
Which
yes.
they have.
Yes.
And, you know, it looks like Modi is firmly in the pocket of Netanyahu, and he's got over a billion people over there.
Mm-hmm. Who hate Muslims, who hate Muslims and have lots of nuclear weapons. And a very close relationship with Israel. Israel, I think India is Israel's biggest. They get most of their weapons from Israel. And ideologically, even though, you know, Hinduism and Judaism technically are not the same religion, but with Hinduism, you have this tiered system. Okay, you have it's a caste system, just like Judaism is. Judaism has two castes. It has Jews and Gentiles. And in Hinduism, you have the same thing. You have the untouchables, okay, who are they're lower than animals. And the Dalit, they're called the Dalit. So, yeah, they're very, very closely aligned with each other. So you were absolutely right. Our kudos to you, Stas. You did predict that one correctly. They'll start the war somewhere else where nobody was expecting.
Yes. Yeah, it can come from anywhere. Well, the ugly truth had the earliest articles that I've ever read pertaining to the fact that if things go bad here in the land of milk and honey, America, or the city on the hill, they'll move to India.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I'm going a little bit off topic. So, you know, just proving that, you know, if that does happen.
Mm-hmm. Maybe some of them will, Stas, but I think that the element of people who are in Israel, first of all, I know this is going to be a little bit off topic as well, but this is this is something that I discussed years ago, that in order to understand the whole thing with Europe and the Jews, why the Europeans were so favorable towards the idea of creating this Jewish state. Everybody automatically defaults on the idea, oh, well, Lord Balfour and all of the other European powers, they were controlled by the Jews and, you know, bribery and blackmail and all of the rest of that. But and there's a great deal of truth to that. But also, folks, the reason why the Europeans were favorable to the idea of the Jewish state is because they wanted the Jews out of Europe. Okay, they wanted a particular type of Jew out of Europe, the Jew who could not be rehabilitated, who could not be tamed, who could not be civilized, who could not be cultured. Okay, that the kinds of, and so Israel was basically created, folks, by the Europeans as a garbage dump for getting rid of these Jews who would not assimilate and who were always causing trouble within European society. So, bringing this thing full circle, as our good friend Mike Piper used to say, Stas, I think that the Jews in Israel, you know, they represent, they are pretty much the type of Jews, they're the Jews that want to be there, okay? The you know, the even the secular types, the ones that can't stand to be around Gentiles, to be around Gentile society, Gentile civilization. So as far as them moving to India, I don't know. Yes, I did make that prediction because this is what the Jews do. That's why they're called the wandering Jew, is that they go from place to place. But now that they're back in their locale, back in their lair, I think they're just going to blow the whole world up if they're forced to leave again. I really do believe. Now, there may be some who go to India, but I think that for the most part, we're dealing here with a completely irrational element of people, and they are, you know, the clock is ticking down to Armageddon and to the Samson option. So anyway, now, Stas, very quickly, you know, this is important because, you know, we want people to understand why we have discussions of this type, okay? This isn't just about having a scoreboard up and we're marking off victory after victory after, you know, we were right, they were wrong. It has nothing to do with that, folks. As we've said many times on this program, there is a particularly important institutional reason why we need to be right about the things that we say. As I said at the beginning of the program, you know, all of us are part of the prosecutorial team, okay? And we've got these gangsters on trial here, and we're trying to get them locked away. We're trying to get the state to use its coercive powers to put them behind bars, or in some way to get them out of the positions that they occupy where they're able to cause the kind of trouble that they have and that they are. Now, in order to do this, we have to convince the jury. We, the team of prosecutors, we have to make the case that these guys are dangerous and they belong behind bars. And we're not going to get that unless we know how to use facts and we know how to reason. We have to be persuasive. Otherwise, rest assured, that crooked mob lawyer that these guys have hired, he's going to get them off on a technicality. And then they're going to be out on the street causing problems again. Now, again, this is an elongated explanation, folks, of why we put the kind of importance that we do here on this program on accuracy. As Mike Piper used to say, a stickler for details. Because if we lose the narrative, folks, what that means is that they win. Stas, your thoughts?
Yes, you got to be detailed and stick to the point. But as you said to me in a conversation recently, you've got to be realistic with yourself and your observations, which can be challenging. You know, because you got to focus on it. And if you catch yourself kind of well-wishing or whatever, you can't do that either.
Yep.
But I mean, the headlines are coming out now. Hexet apparently has canceled Israeli visit.
Yes.
That's big. And Trump, wild. He goes, we won the war with Yemen, but then he goes, I praise their victory or whatever.
Yeah, he called them brave. He said they were called brave. Called them brave. Brave fighters.
Wyckoff has said Israel will pay a heavy price. We don't need you. In this, we're going to make peace negotiations. So this is wild stuff. I got a question for you. I'm wondering what you're thinking. These leaders are looking at this now, and I just saw wild pictures of Xi Jinping sitting with Putin by the parade, and then you know Zelensky, who's the Eastern European Netanyahu, is like firing drones at them. It's all adding up. Now he can sit in a room with these guys and Trump can say, look, they shot me. They are after you. This is like you would ask me in one of the first shows we did, which direction think you go? And I started to say, maybe the Gentiles are starting to learn to deal with this creature.
Yep.
Can't count on it, but all these world leaders, they're obviously looking at what happened to Gaddafi. And, you know, I'm not going to make it look like they're the Avengers or whatever, but they're all sort of in the same boat.
Right. Well, an alligator has the alligator has just taken off its three-piece suit, and it's I don't know, what are the fancy loafers that rich guys wear, whatever they're called, and taken off the top hat and the monocle, and now it's down on four legs again. Okay. This is what has happened, is that everybody thought that the alligator, because it had learned to walk on two legs and to dress and talk and walk and behave like a human being, that it had been civilized. But now, with the election of this most recent government in Israel, all of the disguises have come off now. And, you know, the Gentiles, you know, I mean, look, they are hopelessly stupid. Okay, I'll say that. There's a reason why the Jews refer to us as cattle. And unfortunately, it's because over the millennia, we have demonstrated that this is part of our nature. We don't hyper-focus on things like the Jews do. The Jews have dedicated themselves to our enslavement and our destruction. And all we really want is a nice piece of earth to live our lives in peace. And we don't pay close attention to how these people behave. However, you take the dumbest animal in the world, okay? A sheep, particularly, really, really unintelligent animal. But a sheep, as unintelligent as it is, nevertheless, when it sees a predator in its midst, it knows that it's not a friend, and the sheep will run, okay? Just at the sight of the predator. So I know this is a long answer to your short question, Stas, but the Gentiles of the world, the leaders of the world, have come to understand, yes, we have a Jewish problem. Okay, believe me, whatever it is that we know, folks, meaning all of us, not just myself and my guest host here, but all of us out here in the Gentile world who think we know a thing or two about, you know, the trouble that the Jews are causing in the world today. Believe me, what we know is nothing compared to what the governments of the world know, who have intelligence services and law enforcement agencies and all of the rest of that. I mean, put your thumb and your forefinger together to within a hair's width of each other. That's what we know. And now stretch your arms as far wide as you can. That's what the governments know. So, Stas, the long answer to your short question is the governments of the world have come to understand that this experiment that began a century ago in giving the Jews their own land and trying to find some way to peaceful coexist with them over in this garbage dump known as the Gypsy State, that it was a failed experiment, okay? You know, they thought that, okay, give them, put them back in their element, and then they'll settle down and they won't be such a problem. No, they're a million times worse now than they were when they were in Europe and they were burning down the cities under the banner of Karl Marx.
Oh, yes. And with the technology, it's mind-blowing. I mean, I can't even keep up with the headlines. Now the Duran guys are talking about how Strama of Germany is like, oh, I got to go after Russia. I mean, just when you think something is settled, another hole in the dike comes.
Mm-hmm.
An extraordinary power. Just when you think it's all right, it moves forward. And everybody just has their own focus, and in particular the truth movement. I've been amazed in the last shows we've done how they cannot focus on what the president is doing directly with Netanyahu. It's always some, dramatic thing. I talk about it ad nauseum, but something with he made a mistake with this. There's no tribunals, or of course, as we laugh, there's no portals. There's no, there's no really dramatic thing. Like, stick to it.
Yep.
And what I always hate, going way back to, I know it's insignificant, but these guys like Jim Mars, whatever, in the truth movement would always say, well, the president has no power.
Mm-hmm.
It's always this unseen force. And when I talk to guys, I get so mad. I just give them some information and reality, and they just drift back to,
comfortably numb and comfortably dumb.
Yeah. 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 I mean, yeah. oh, come on, the Rockefeller Oil Trust or whatever, you know?
Yep.
These, you know, and I guess I'm putting down like older guys with it. They have no idea what the Jewish Wall Street guys, Rockefeller's now insignificant.
Absolutely.
The money.
Yeah.
That these tech
guys. Yeah, he's like John Dillinger. He's John Dillinger compared to the global mafia syndicate.
Oh, yeah. This money that they're coming up with, this Microsoft and Alphabet, Google and NVIDIA, is makes it the Rockefellers look like losers. I'm sorry, old guys. What? And it goes back to, the British bankers, whoever. You know, Britain is gone, you guys. Old guys, listen. They take orders from the big guys over here, America. They don't have a military anymore. They're gone. They're a museum, you know? Mm-hmm. This is what the danger is. It's the Israelis who control still, unfortunately, significant areas of the American intelligence. Of course, they have all the media under wraps. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sorry to give this shout out to certain guys.
Stas, this is yeah. Just like all of the programs that we have done going back however many years it's been, 10 years or so. Okay. This is a public service, folks. We do this. You know, Mike Piper and I and the gang before, we do this as a public service, okay? Because we know, number one, we know how high the stakes are, how dangerous things are. This is, like I've said many times, it is just like, you know, one of the Terminator films, okay? It's that serious. World War III and the end of all life on Earth, and the life that hasn't been destroyed wishes that it had been, because existence has been reduced to such a miserable thing. Okay. And likewise, when we spend an amount of time, you know, warning people away from this idea, from that idea, you know, these are all landmines, folks, that are hooks. Okay. They are hooks attached to a string that's attached to a fishing pole up above the water's edge. And if you bite down on that hook, you're going to find yourself ensnared by something and unable to free yourself. And like we have said, folks, things are too serious right now. We don't have the luxury of wasting any time or wasting any ammunition. On that note, Stas, I want to hit a couple of news stories that we have here. I'll let you finish your thought on what I just said, and then we'll jump into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as now we speak, the headlines are saying there's like huge dogfights between India and Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Two nuclear powers, by the way.
Two nuclear powers. And a massive population over there. And they've got apparently blackout in Jammu and Kashmir. So, yeah, if they don't get what they want in Ukraine, which that battle isn't exactly over yet either. They started over here. So
I
brought that out because, again, when I try to talk about these things, people bring up these old things about British bankers. I get it. But this is not debated. Like, you old guys listening, those hedge funds have make the Rockefellers look like losers, you know?
Yeah,
that's the kind of money we're talking about now.
Yeah,
and this hides—they're in another realm now, and the danger comes from what you just said. It's the Samson option.
Yeah,
you know, if Trump can manage to put them under wraps, you know, when will they pull the plug and do that? Mm-hmm. And I've recently thought, you know, how much of this can the Gentile nations take? You know, the wrong drone into Moscow.
Yes.
You know, what do we know? How mad are
new
they
virus.
Going to get?
New virus, a real one.
A real virus, yeah, coming out. Would that make people panic? And are they going to launch?
Yes.
You know, oh, we have no chance. There's super bird flu and on and on. And just even conventional war with those two giants over there tangling, Pakistan and India, you know, I mean, people go, well, that's not over here. Well, what if they have a nuke over there?
Yeah.
You know, is it not going to give us cancer over here? You know, I mean, these are things that are real, real stuff. And again, they just keep talking about, you know, like on BitChute and other platforms. I can't stand it. They just keep saying he's the vax daddy. Mm-hmm. and that's all over. And that's over. We're already on to the next pandemic and the next war.
Exactly. Yep.
It's almost as if maybe sometimes I thought that the reality is too scary. So people.
No, I don't think that's it, Stas. I'll tell you what I think it is. Here's what I think. Mm-hmm, what I think it is. Okay. I think that people like you and I know Mike Piper was the same way. And a lot of people that I know, we give a lot of other people more credit than they deserve. We think that because they see things in an unorthodox way and that they're suspicious of the media and they say the world new, the word New World Order or whatever, that they're necessarily on par. You know, I mean, like I've discussed many times, you know, I am an avid and I would say a skilled shooter. That is one thing I will brag about, folks. I am a good, good shot. Okay. And I'll get into conversations. You know, when you go to the range, you can tell somebody that's just gotten a gun for the first time. And it may be the most fancy, tricked-out gun in the world, an AR-15 with all of the modifications and, you know, a laser sight on it. And, you know, they went and they got themselves a suppressor and all the rest of that stuff. But they've never fired it. They don't even know the first thing about it. They don't even know how to load it. Just because they've got the gun doesn't mean that they're proficient with it. And when it comes to the information war, we, I think, give people a lot more credit than they deserve. We give them, we think they're smarter than they really are, that they're better informed than they really are. And so then when they open their mouths and they say something completely detached from reality, you know, like Trump is the daddy of the vaccines or whatever. He's out, you know, he is owned by Netanyahu. They're the best of buddies. And we were saying to ourselves, well, wait a minute. Now, I thought this person was intelligent. I thought that they paid attention. No, they don't. Okay. They limit themselves to 10-second YouTube videos. That's it. They don't read. And if they do read, that article better not be anything longer than 10 or 15 seconds, because if it is, they're not even going to bother. They'll get to the end of the title, and that'll be the end of it. So listen, Stas, I've got some articles here that I want to discuss. We're going to try to keep the program today, folks, at about an hour, maybe just a little bit over an hour. Just got lots of things to do. But anyway, we need to have this. We need to continue the discussion that we have been having now for 8 years, folks, and that discussion is the nature of the relationship between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, those of you who may be new to this program for the first time will state it very clearly, folks. Netanyahu and Trump hate each other. They view each other as a mortal threat. Now, do they come out and say these things in public? No, they don't. They do what all politicians do. When the microphones are on and when the cameras are rolling, they smile and they shake hands and they say all of these things that give the appearance of, you know, mutual affection and respect and all of the rest of that. And then they go behind closed doors and the mics and the cameras are off and people are shooed out of the room. And then they get down to brass tacks. They get down to business. Now, Donald Trump, okay, and as we have discussed on this program, folks, if you have not yet gotten your hands on the book by veteran Israeli journalist Barak Ravid entitled Trump's Peace, if you haven't gotten your hands on that book and read it, you need to. It will open your eyes. It will dispel all of the myths and the lies that you have come to believe about the relationship between Trump and Netanyahu, and then everything that is happening right now will come into better focus. You'll understand, okay, these guys are not walking hand in hand in the same direction. It is a fight between two bosses out to wipe each other out. And it has just turned a corner just in the last week, folks. We listed some of the things at the beginning of the program, such as, number one, the fact that Trump is negotiating this deal with Iran, and Israel is furious about it. Israel didn't know anything about it. Trump dropped this on Netanyahu's lap when Trump summoned him to D.C., and he said it right there at the meeting in the Oval Office without Netanyahu being told ahead of time. Okay. This is Netanyahu's baby, folks. The destruction of Iran is Netanyahu's baby. Not just the denuclearization of Iran, the destruction of Iran. The Jews have been celebrating this act preemptively for the last 2,500 years in their silly religious celebration every year of Purim. Okay, it's not just about putting on costumes and getting falling down drunk and eating pastries meant to resemble the body parts of your victims. This was preparing the Jewish brain for this future date where the Persian Empire is destroyed. Okay, now Trump is going to undercut all of this with this deal with Iran. Where they're going to be able to keep their civilian nuclear program, that they're not going to develop nuclear weapons, which is fine with the Iranians. They don't want the nukes anyway. They don't need them. At least that's how they feel, because Israel is so small. Israel, you don't need a nuke to wipe Israel off the map. So we have Trump with the Iranian deal. We have Trump now who has basically made friends with the Houthis. They have buried the hatchet. Trump said, we won't attack you anymore. You don't attack any ships. Keep the sea lanes open for trade. And doesn't mention Israel at all when the Houthis are launching missiles into Israel on a daily basis. In fact, the Houthis just today said that none of the airports in Israel are safe, that they're going to start targeting all the airports, which is great, folks, because then they won't be able to leave. Because if they're able to leave, guess where they're going to come? They're going to come here to the U.S. or someplace in the West, and we don't want them. Let's see. What else? We have Trump now who has told the Saudis, yes, we're going to help you with, first of all, we're going to do a, I think it was a $100 billion arms deal. Rest assured, folks, it's not just going to be small arms. It's going to be high technical stuff in terms of weaponry. And we're going to help you with your civilian nuclear program. And the best part is you don't have to agree to recognize Israel as part of it. This was what Trump was working on first time around, folks, with his Abraham Accord. He wanted to convince all the Arab nations and the Gulf states that if they just will recognize Israel, give Israel the right to exist as a Jewish state, that you know everybody can be at peace with each other. Well, the Saudis said, we're not going to do that until the Palestinian issue has been addressed. And Trump has just said, okay, fine. We'll go ahead with the deal anyway, and we'll work that out later. So the Jews are furious with Trump, folks. And on that note, we're going to start off with our first article. If you have not done so, folks, you should subscribe to the website visionmag.org, okay? If you want to know what the mental pulse of Jews in Israel are, the right-wing religious Jews, which basically is the current government in Israel, and where they plan to take everything, folks, you need to read. There are certain websites that you should read. One of them is Vision Mag, Vision Magazine. They wrote a piece just this week entitled, Jerusalem Should Prepare for Major Trump Betrayals. Subtitle says, while his rhetoric may sound supportive of Israel, Trump's actions have been telling a different story. U.S. President Donald Trump announced Tuesday that American forces will stop bombing Ansar Allah, the Houthis in Yemen. Trump claimed that the Iran-backed group has agreed to stop disrupting important shipping lanes in West Asia. The announcement came only hours after Israeli airstrikes across Yemen that hit Sana'a International Airport and electric power stations in response to the Houthis' attack on Israel's Ben-Gurion International Airport on Sunday. Following Trump's announcement, Oman's government claimed that it had mediated the ceasefire under which neither the U.S. nor the Houthis will attack one another. But neither Washington nor Muscat, which is it's in Oman, folks, mentioned Ansar Allah's ongoing strikes against Israel. In fact, a spokesman for the Yemeni group pledged that the attacks targeting Israel would continue. Israeli officials admitted to local media outlets that Jerusalem's given no advance warning of the ceasefire by Washington, which clearly prioritizes protecting U.S. vessels in the Red Sea and in the Mab al-Mandab Strait. U.S. President also announced on Tuesday that a big policy announcement would accompany his upcoming visit to the region, scheduled to begin May 13th. According to a Sunday report in Israel Hayom, that's Sheldon Adelson's newspaper, folks, Prime Minister Netanyahu has been privately expressing his personal frustration with Trump. Netanyahu has reportedly told his aides and close associates that although the U.S. president might often say things that on the surface sound supportive of Israel, his actions are highly problematic. According to the report, Netanyahu expressed specific concerns with Trump's support for Turkish President Erdogan and his efforts to increase Turkey's control over Syria. Let's see. During a press conference in the Oval Office last month, Trump praised Erdogan as Netanyahu silently sat next to him, clearly not wanting to publicly disagree with Trump after seeing how things went for Ukrainian President Zelensky. Folks, just a little departure here. You will recall that in the immediate aftermath of Trump and the rest of his team taking down Zelensky in the very dramatic manner that they did, that it was we here on this humble little informational endeavor postulated, theorized that they set Zelensky up, and they did this specifically as a warning to Netanyahu that he can expect the same thing if he does not play ball. Okay, let's see. Netanyahu's also reportedly expressed his frustration over Trump's decision to engage in nuclear talks with Iran, announced by the American president at the same White House press conference last month. Let's see, let me just skip down here a little bit. The president's recent decision to oust his national security advisor, Mike Waltz, should also make obvious the current daylight between Trump and Netanyahu on the issue of Iran. In fact, Waltz's removal is largely understood as connected to his sharing Netanyahu's strategic assessment of Iran and trying to coordinate with the Israelis to move his boss, meaning the president, towards their position. The swift firing indicates that Trump has no interest in adopting the Israeli position and is generally distrustful when it comes to any of his people appearing to be too close with Jerusalem. Trump made clear to Netanyahu in front of the entire world where he stands on the issues of Syria, Turkey, and Iran, issues that Jerusalem sees as vital to its own security needs. The mere act of praising Erdogan and announcing his intentions to negotiate with Iran as Netanyahu silently sat next to him should be understood as an abusive attempt to display dominance. Trump showing the world that he can force the Israeli prime minister to swallow whatever Trump shoves down his throat. Now, I want you to pay close attention to the last paragraph here, folks. Prime Minister Netanyahu may have been correct to hold his tongue at that press conference, but he would also be well advised to make whatever plans that he deems necessary under the assumption that Trump is not actually an ally, but is a threat to Israeli interests. Again, folks, this comes off of Vision Mag. These are, you know, this is the brain trust of the Likud party. If you want to understand what the Likud party, meaning Netanyahu and all of the religious terrorists that make up his current government, how they think and what they're planning, read what is written on Vision magazine. I know that if Mike were here, it would be he would be reading this as voraciously as he did the Jewish Daily Forward. I want to read that last paragraph one more time, folks. Prime Minister Netanyahu may have been correct to hold his tongue at that press conference, but he would also be well advised to make whatever plans he deems necessary under the assumption that Trump is not actually an ally, but is a threat to Israeli interests. What is he saying there, Stas?
That the game is over and it's out now.
Yeah.
He is not an ally. He's a threat. And what where my brain is thinking of now is their creation turning against them. Is it possible? They call us the Goyim. They call us
the Golem.
Amalek.
The Golem.
The Golem. And they call us Rome.
Yes.
Do they want some Rome now? The emperor. Because they lost that fight badly.
Mm-hmm.
Can your Golem, can the cattle, you know about farming, can the cow turn over and crush you?
That's right.
can you make one? And Trump is a New Yorker, and he knows that the temple was blown up, and many good people were killed there, the finest firemen and policemen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there such thing as a revenge for 9/11? Finally. You know, and things like that. How many people know about this behind the scenes? Sometimes it looks like none, and can it happen?
Mm-hmm.
So they're fantasizing, and what the Gentiles have forgot about the wars of Josephus, but maybe they certainly haven't, and they want to kill us. They think we're Rome. And Russia's the third Rome, and the Kaiser of Germany, everything is like that.
Yes.
But the Gentiles don't talk about it, but they do. it's like, I don't know. Does the black magic come back on you? I don't know.
Yes, it does. In fact, I'll address this specifically, Stas. My theory is as follows. The Jews, there is no question about the fact that they are tapped into a very deep, dark, diabolical energy. Okay, that empowers them to do things intellectually that Gentiles just are not capable of doing. All right, I once compared it to, a radio. If you have an FM radio, you know that down on the left side of the dial, it starts at around 88, something like that. And then all the way up on the right-hand side of the dial, it's as the megahertz increases, it's like 107, 108, whatever. Okay. But there are radio frequencies, that you can't pick up on a regular FM radio. Radio frequencies for police, military, fire department. Okay. Now, I believe that all life forms, and especially human beings who are sentient life forms, that they pick up on these spiritual vibrations, radio waves, whatever you want to call them. And I think that for the most part, the Gentiles, as they have demonstrated throughout their history and what their accomplishments have been, we have built civilizations, we have created hundreds, if not thousands, of different languages, medicine and science and art and all of these things. And, the human brain that creates these things, it is tapped into a higher energy source than itself. And I think that the Gentiles, as history has proven, that we tap into these higher radio waves, if you want to call them that. Whereas when we look at what the Jews have done, whether we want to call them Hebrews or Israelites, Judites, Judeans, Jews, whatever, okay, a rose by any other name is still a rose. Is that they tap into a much lower energy. This is why they are so comfortable with mass murdering tens of thousands of innocent men, women, and children in Gaza, and cheering over the deaths of millions of people in Iraq and in Libya and in places like, and why they look forward to the deaths of billions of people, because they're tapped into some dark energy. Now, in those times when they are forced to live amongst the Gentiles and to do business with the Gentiles, and they're not completely on top of things, okay, they're forced to keep their brains closer towards the middle in order to communicate with us and to do business with us. But the closer that they get to their you know, what has been their plans now for 3,000 years, the further they get away from the center and the deeper that they go into their madness. And so this is what I'm, this is the your question that I'm answering, Stas, is that there comes a point where they become blinded by their own, you know, because they've just gotten so close to, they see themselves as so close to their goals, and they don't see how everything is falling apart around them. Okay. So, yes, I think that your perception on this is correct, that they have reached this point now where their brains are not functioning with that, you know, high intelligence that most of the time it is. They're so intoxicated now on this dark energy that they don't see how the world is closing in around them.
Yeah, they're not doing as good a job as hiding, like under Gold of My Ear.
Exactly.
Oh, we felt sorry. Gold is old, and she had to send the boys to get the Olympic. And they look sort of good, even though they were doing the same stuff. Now, I mean, with Smoltrich or somebody just openly calling for the genocide proudly, wide in the open, you got to wonder, when is going to wake up these? I mean, China's a very old civilization, too. I'm not saying they're not still a threat to the United States, but they're looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Russia's pretty old, too, and they have an old intelligence service. And they've kind of, you know, got them off their back. And now even the United States, if polls are to believe, they were once very popular here, and now it's going down out in the open.
Yeah.
But it doesn't – the advantage that the Hebrews have is the liberal protesters are the most vicious enemies of Trump. Now, I don't know if that's going to come together.
Well, I think everything is going to come together in such a way so that everything falls apart. And what I mean by that, and this is actually a good segue to where I want to take the rest of the discussion. Stas and I were talking before the program, folks, and what I mentioned, what we talked about in the discussion was that, especially within the course of the last 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, since Netanyahu was in town and the president announced that he's already talking with Iran and that we're going to fix this thing, there's not going to be any war. Him announcing that the United States is going to own Gaza. And now we have the Jewish press turning on Trump, the Hebrew press, okay? The right-wing Hebrew press in Israel turning on Trump now. All the biggies, folks, Israel National News, Jerusalem Post, Israel Hayom, Ynet, Times of Israel, which is sometimes it's left of center, sometimes it's right of center. Haaretz hates Trump just because they're a left-wing outlet and he's a right-winger. So now that the line has been, there's a line that's been crossed where the Hebrew press now is turning on Trump and they're using words like enemy. And they're talking about how Netanyahu needs to make his plans. That's why I emphasized that last paragraph, folks, because, you know, that's gangsteries. That's this newspaper telling Netanyahu that he needs to start blowing things up and he needs to start killing people in order to flip the script, change the narrative, change the playing field with regards to Trump. We've just crossed over, folks, we've just crossed over into a new chapter in all of this. We talk often on this program about how close the world is to basically just going up in flames. But with this thing that has just happened, the fact that the president, and just wait, folks, whatever it is that the president has said, this big announcement that's coming, as big as we think it is, it's going to be much bigger. It's going to be something that is going to throw the Jews into fits, into absolute fits. And, you know, anybody out there, and again, folks, the only reason that I bring this up is because I get so many emails from people saying, well, what about this and what about that and what about what this guy is saying and what about that guy and what he's saying about Trump and about how Trump is, you know, a secret Jew, and he's, and it's like, no, come on, folks, come on. What has to happen in order for you to all be able to put the pieces of this puzzle together in a way that makes sense? Okay, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes, how they have dealt with Trump now for the last 8 years. Okay, they were against him from the very beginning. Forget about Sheldon Adelson and his wife Miriam. Forget about the nice, friendly, discussions between Trump and Netanyahu. Okay, go watch any of the Godfather movies, folks. Yes, I know they're fiction, but they're works of fiction that are based on non-fictional reality. Okay, this is the way that the world of gangster politics works, where people, you know, they embrace each other and they are hugs and they're all men of honor and this and that. And then 5 minutes into the story, they're at each other's throat and they're in the middle of a gang war. And that's what we're going on here, except that the gang war, folks, is the entire planet. Stas, your thoughts?
I just have to say it's been weeks upon months, and you've been hammering away over at today's core. The most important thing anybody listening to this is Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump are not best friends.
No, they're not.
And this is, if anybody listened, take that away. And just remember, anybody who's listened, also look at all the, go back and look at your platforms, your YouTubes or whatever you get your information from. They've been pounding away that, there's a right winger and their friends. But I've been stunned to talk to people that I know who are Republican and Christian, and they have been, I have brought this up to them when I can, and they've been quite shocked.
I know.
When I said that they hate each other, bowled over.
Yeah. Yeah. Craziest thing in the world. It's like telling somebody that the earth is actually round instead of it being flat and that the sun doesn't move around the earth. It's the other way around. I know.
And now they will see it for themselves. The tragic part is
what it's going to take.
It's a chess game, and BB can make moves. Exactly. He can still make moves.
What's it going to take for them to understand it? Is it going to be the president, God forbid, actually being assassinated? Is it going to be a nuke going off in one or more American cities or world capitals? Is it going to be a new virus that comes out of the Israeli Institute for Biological Research? Is this the point at which people are going to figure out that we've got this this gang war going on, and that there's one guy on the entire planet, his name is Donald Trump, who's out to pull the plug on World War III? That's what's so maddening, Stas. And you know, in this regard, and this is one of the things that I say often, you know, nobody ever accused the Jews of being stupid. They're very clever, they're very cunning, and they know how to keep the Gentiles scurrying around like drugged cockroaches. Those aren't my words, folks. Those are the words of Rafael Eitan, a former Mossad chief before he died and went to hell where he belongs, where he talked about, you know, how the Jews were going to take over the Middle East, is that they would, that they would just take over piece by piece until all of the Arabs were left like drugged cockroaches scurrying around in a bottle. And one of the ways, folks, that they do this to us in a general sense is that they, you know, it's not like other places in the world, places that are torn by war, starvation, you know, the decimation of civilization. These people don't have the luxury of dabbling in stupidity and in stupid ideas, stupid theories about things, okay? Their lives are too tenuous and they're resting on a razor's edge. They've already lost half of their loved ones to war or disease or something like that. But in the West, you know, where we live these very privileged and comfortable lives, we can dabble in all kinds of nonsense. Okay. And this is the reason why. So what is it going to take to get us to start thinking clearly about it? Unfortunately, my theory, Stas, is that it's going to take things taking a decidedly downward turn before people realize, hey, this is really serious. I don't have the luxury of thinking stupid thoughts anymore. Stas, your thoughts?
Yes, or they fight together on TV, and I think Trump can take them.
Yeah.
He does this wrestling stuff. Sorry for that juvenile answer, but yeah. I mean, I guess I'm highlighting that it would take something like he would have to punch him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still as a warning to everyone, you're still gonna see Trump come on and say all types of praises in between to him, you know, and then, but what's reality is happening is he's moving on it and doing everything that they feared, doing the reason why they did a bioweapon in this country,
mm-hmm.
the reason why. And, you know, it's not all about money. I tell people this all the time. No. The Jews are losing a lot of money.
Yeah.
On their media things going after him. They're falling off. The people don't go to the movies anymore.
Exactly.
Because they made them so woke.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not looking at a lot of the news services because the people are getting sick of it. There's 24 hours against Trump. And you know, there is some kind of silent group that likes him that won't admit it at work because they don't want to lose their job. They don't mm-hmm. want to lose their girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to lose their wife.
Right.
But they voted for him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody voted for him. I heard, you know, so they're not. And it's not all about oil either. This is a misconception. They're losing a lot of money.
Yeah.
Taking out the world. But to them, it's worth it because this is what the Deuteronomy
this
says.
Is exactly. This is what their Judaism commands them to do, to break down things that aren't true. Now, Stas, I've got a quote here I'm going to quote, and we're going to discuss this just for the last few minutes of the program. Listen very carefully to this, folks. It's very, very eye-opening. The quote reads as follows. This is from a story that just came out, I guess, about a week ago. Quote, God did the state of Israel a favor that Joe Biden was the president during this period. We fought in Gaza for over a year, and the administration never came to us and said, ceasefire now. It never did, and that's not to be taken for granted. Now, who said this, folks? This was the Israeli ambassador to the United States during the 4 years of the Biden White House. I won't say while Biden was president, because I don't think that he was. This was the Israeli, meaning this was the official voice of the Israeli government to the United States during the 4 years while Joe Biden was in the White House. And he said, God did Israel a favor that Biden was president during this period. Meaning, folks, the period beginning on October the 7th up to when Donald Trump was sworn in. The Israeli ambassador is very clear about this, that Biden was the president that the Jews wanted when October 7th happened. Okay, why? First of all, because they knew that nobody was going to stop them from doing what they planned to do, which is World War III and Armageddon. They knew that Donald Trump, not only would October 7th have never happened, because he would have prevented it from happening, but everything that happened afterwards, folks, with regards to Gaza, with regards to Lebanon, with regards to what's going on in Syria now, and all of the other nasty, dirty tricks which they are planning to pull against all of us, that if Donald Trump had remained in office, none of this would have happened. This is the reason why he had to go, folks. First, with all of the investigations, the impeachments, the virus that was cooked up in an Israeli bioweapons lab, and then the stolen election. Now, we'll say it one more time, folks, in the simplest way that it could be stated. None of this would have happened if, indeed, as all of these other people are famous for saying, Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu were the best of friends. If Netanyahu put Donald Trump in office, none of this would have happened. You're witnessing a very real war here, folks. A war that is going to get worse, not just by the day, but by the minute. And it's a war that all of us are going to get caught up in. It's not just going to be, the war of ideas like we're engaged in right now with this program. It's going to be the real deal. We're going to be seeing things that we never thought we would ever experience in our lives. That's why we have to begin taking all of this with the kind of deadly seriousness that is called for. Stas, your thoughts before we close out for the day.
But Jared Kushner runs the show. Jared, he's all powerful. Anybody who thought that, where's that kid now, huh, you guys? He's a non-entity now.
He's just behind the scenes. It's just like in The Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain. He's running the whole show. King Kushner. King Kushner.
King Kushner.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much evidence you can provide people, and this is the way it is. The president is still an important position, and these are the kings of the modern days. Nothing new under the sun, I guess. We're repeating. Mm-hmm. Here comes, and if they want it, they've got Emperor Titus now.
Absolutely.
Maybe they thought about it too much.
Yes. I don't think that. Again, Trump is their worst nightmare. As I wrote in the piece that I talked about at the beginning of the program, they don't just view him as the most dangerous man alive. They view him as the most dangerous man in history. Okay, because he has come at a time when they are so close. And he spent his life around them. He knows how they think. He knows how they roll. And he is intent upon bringing an end to all of this, not just to make America great again, but to make planet Earth great again. And again, folks, this is why my good friend here, Stas, and I spend the amount of time we do talking about these things, because we're all a part of this. We're all part of this machinery. Okay, and when somebody or a handful of them go off the deep end and they start saying stupid stuff, it causes the machinery to break down. Right now, what we need to be doing is giving the president all of the support that we can and no opposition. Don't make it an incredibly difficult job, all the more difficult for him. All right, he's trying to put this fire out before it consumes all of us. So we got to watch what we say, folks. No stupid stuff. That's our new motto here. NSS, no stupid stuff. Stas, your thoughts before we say goodbye to everybody.
This was very interesting. I hope I didn't take it too far off talk, but I got it more interesting than I even dreamed of tonight's discussion. I hope people, don't get distracted by the sort of, funny lines that are put up, but get focused. Right. Realize that it is a new game now. The money now is the Rockefellers. Even I dare say the Rothschilds couldn't dream mm-hmm. of this power that the AI stocks and all the money has brought to them.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reaction to everything, and what they've done is the murder of the King Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
the 9/11,
mm-hmm.
the COVID that mm-hmm. killed so many, made most of the people who were poor. Does it come back? There's fires in Israel now.
Yes.
We never dreamed in our lives that we'd see any of it. I'm sure JFK and Mike are looking down going, whoa, RFK Jr. and mm-hmm. all these people, one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've always wondered if, the Bolshevik revolution, millions and millions, World War II, would it ever come back mm-hmm. the other way?
Mm-hmm.
Will the real God sort this out?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. It's just, the amount of ugly truth and things you've uncovered in the website is astounding, man.
No,
come on.
No, no. No, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It's real simple. It's like I tell people, it's like pouring water out of a boot with the directions on the heel. You know, you just can't.
Yeah.
You can only get it wrong if you're out to get it wrong. Anyway, Stas, very quickly,
yeah.
I just want to mention this one thing because I did mention at the beginning of the program. The new Pope, folks, I'm going to give you my theory. I want to give it, put it out there first before anybody else does because that's just the way I am. I think that this guy was put in there by Trump. Now, the reason that I think that is because for 2 weeks, folks, 2 weeks, the idea of Trump as the head of the Vatican was a very, very prominent thing. The first was when the president himself appeared to be joking, and he said, they should make me pope, okay? And everybody thought, oh, you know, there he goes again. He's just trying to grab headlines. But, you know, he doesn't just do that, folks. He says things for a very specific reason. And then, not too long afterwards, we see this AI-generated image of, a very nice image, of the president dressed up as the Holy Father. And, folks, I think that that was done deliberately. I mean, it was the White House that put that image out there. That's an official thing. Yeah, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, isn't it funny, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that's an official statement. It's coming. It was sent out. I don't know if it was Twitter or Truth Social or whatever, but it came out of the White House, which means it's an official statement. So this AI-generated image of Donald Trump as the Pope. Okay, so, folks, maybe he's not wearing the, I can't remember what it's called. That pointed thing, it's right at the tip of my brain. Anyway, he doesn't have to be wearing that to control the Vatican, okay? We just had the first American cardinal elected to the papacy, okay? Now, yes, I know there are some issues involved with, I guess he's made a few critical statements of the president in the past, but the president was there a few weeks ago for the Pope's funeral, for Francis's funeral. What kinds of conversations did he have when he was there and with what people? Okay. This guy, Prevost, Robert Prevost, Cardinal Robert Prevost, I believe his name is, he was a dark horse. He wasn't even on the list of possible candidates, and he was made Pope. So what strings did Donald Trump pull through his own deep state to get this guy elected? Now, you're saying to yourself, oh, what is why? Why would he be in the least bit interested? Well, folks, why would Donald Trump be interested in rehabilitating Hollywood? Okay, but he is. He appointed Mel Gibson, Sylvester Stallone, and that stink bomb, what's his name, the father of Uncle of Angelina Jolie. Big Jew lover. He's got it bad.
John Voight.
Yeah, he appointed them his personal advisors on Hollywood. Okay, you would think that Trump would want to just see Hollywood, you know, crash into the sea, but he knows it's an incredibly powerful institution. Okay, you can control the world if you can control Hollywood, and if you control the Vatican, folks, you are controlling an enormous amount of human resources. 1.5 billion people around the world pay more attention to what the leader of their faith tells them than they do the presidents and the prime ministers of their own countries. So, my theory, folks, is that Trump and his people worked this out, that this American cardinal was made Pope, and it was done under the guise to say, look, either you can have the United States controlling things, or you can have the Jews controlling things the way that they have been since before Vatican II. Okay, the Catholic Church has been castrated. It has been paralyzed, immobilized. It can't make a move in any direction without some snarling hyena staring at it in the face and telling the church, don't even think about it. Imagine the power of the church in reining in, you know, wars and things like that. Sorry, folks, we got some kind of interference there. Okay. Imagine the power of the church if it were aligned with the presidency in shaping public opinion around the world. So anyway, that's it, folks. That's it in a nutshell. We will pick it up again on the next program, God willing. Stas, your last thoughts. I know I keep saying this, but really, your last thoughts before we say ciao to all of
the end of the world. It's the end of the world, but I can't be serious. Come on, man. You're way off the mark. Michelle Obama is a guy.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, I know. Michelle
that's
Obama.
All that matters.
Yeah, I know. That's all that matters. Yes, and nobody dies.
Every time I try to talk serious to somebody about some of the stuff, they hit me with that.
I know. I know. But what about Michelle Obama? What about
I know.
What about the bulge? I know. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Let's not talk about Gaza and the World War III anymore. Let's talk about that. Anyway, Stas, once again, I and the rest of the listeners, thank you profusely for coming on the program, giving us your time, your expertise. You are a credit to mankind. You're a credit to Gentile civilization. Hang on there for just a second. I'm going to close out, but I want to talk to you off the air.
You got it.
All right, folks, that's it for today. I know we kind of bounced around a lot, a little rusty, haven't been behind the microphone here for a couple of weeks. But anyway, I think that we touched on all the important stuff, folks. Why it is a vital interest to all of us to get this razor blade away from our neck and this pistol away from our head. And the only way we're going to do that is by fighting smart. Okay, and that means not allowing ourselves to dabble in things that are not true. Donald Trump is out to save the world. He's not out to destroy all of us. He's not Netanyahu's puppet. And anybody out there, folks, who is telling you this, you need to reevaluate how much what they tell you on other issues is true as well. Because the evidence is crystal clear now. The puzzle can't be made any more clear than it is. Okay. So, let's get busy with saving this world, folks, and bringing buckets of water to this inferno rather than buckets of gasoline. That's it for today, folks. Until we meet again, God willing, pray for a miracle because we sure as hell need it.